Welcome to the Burrow,
A podcast where we discuss our favourite books and have a bit of a laugh. Hi, I'm Chloe.
And I'm Megan. And I use she, her pronouns, and I'm from Canada.
I also use she, her pronouns, and I'm from England. So how have we been recently?
I've been like very stressed because I recently got another job. So like,
oh yeah,
I work every single day.
I still don't have a job. I used to have
one. Still in university, so.
Yeah, I'm almost finished. But
when do you finish? Like,
technically 10th of June, but my last performance is next week, and then I just have to do the essay and hand it in, and then I'm done.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah. Did I tell you? I'm going to go to Cardiff next week to see Waitress. Did I tell you?
I think so, with your friend, right?
Yeah, because she was like, she wanted to see Waitress again. I was like, yeah, we can do that. So we found cheap tickets. We're just gonna go to Wales next week.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yes. I need some theatre after how long? I don't know. The last show I saw was like 22nd of April. It's been a month. Also, something exciting happened on Saturday, didn't it?
Yeah, we had the Zoom call with Joe for the convention.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That was really exciting. He's so nice.
Yes.
Like, no, I thought that I wasn't expecting that. It's just like,
yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like some celebrities, they're not rude, but you're just like, it feels a bit weird.
Yeah, exactly. But it felt like just talking. I don't know. It felt really casual and nice.
Yeah. We loved it.
Mm-hmm. You guys were bonding over the West End.
Yeah.
That was nice, though.
It would have been awkward if I didn't know he was a theatre person.
Yeah, luckily you did know.
Yeah. Because obviously, like, I forgot that I knew about the show, like, when they first announced it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, back when I, like, followed some of the cast, they had, like, 300 followers or something.
Yeah, they had barely any. And then you see, like, Kit now and Joe, yeah, who have, like,
yeah,
like, maybe, like, 2 million or something.
Yeah. I, like, back then, I'd always see Joe going to the theatre, and I'd be like, oh, I see you. And I wish that was me. Like, on his story, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're doing. But yeah.
Good taste.
Very good taste.
Okay, I want to transition so we don't get this too long. I want to transition into our little discourse section.
Oh gosh. What do you have?
Oh, this is like really, we had this small argument a bit ago over you. I think you said 20 past five.
Oh my God.
And I said 20 after five. And we had an argument.
Okay, the thing is, if you're looking at it logically,
I'm gonna try to explain this.
Yeah, if you're looking at it logically, I'm right because it's 20 minutes past the hour, so it's past five. It is.
But it's 20 minutes after five.
No.
Yes.
It's past the hour. It's not after the hour. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll say I'm right.
No.
I am. Anyways, what do you have?
I literally just wrote down exam systems because I still hate
your
exam system.
Yeah, our exam system is different.
I'm very bitter.
Just move here. You can appreciate
it. My exams are over now. There's no point now. All that stress.
That sucks, doesn't it?
I know. I know.
Yeah, you guys actually had to do exams during like COVID.
Yeah, 5 months straight.
You know, they didn't make us do it.
It's so annoying. Also because obviously we missed like half of year 12, which was our first year doing like our new like syllabus for the exams.
Yeah.
But they didn't take any content off the exams. We had to learn everything.
That's stupid.
And the thing is, I probably would have failed psychology if I hadn't done it for like 3 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So like I knew like the foundation. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's not bad.
I feel like in some way it was less stressful than me actually doing it like the normal way you would do it if you did the A-level exams. But then at the same time, we literally did 5 months straight of exams and assessments, which wasn't fun.
That's so much.
I know. It wasn't fun.
Yeah, like when COVID started for us, I think it was all of Canada. I think maybe at least my province. Whatever your mark was at the beginning of COVID, it can't go any lower than that.
Oh, okay.
So you can raise your mark, but you can't go any lower.
Mm.
So like if you were failing, well, of course, obviously, try better, like try harder. But if you're at like maybe like a 60 or something in a class, you can't fail the class because you can't go any lower than that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just stop doing work because they don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah, because when COVID started, I was in year 12. So, like, my first year of sixth form. So the people who were in year 13, they didn't actually sit their A-levels. They just got their predicted grades. Because, like, for all the exams we do, like, these mock exams.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tell you where you're at and basically what you could get when you do the actual exam. So I feel like I would have rather had that because I probably would have done fine in my mock exams, but they love to stress us out, so it's fine.
They love you so much.
It's gross.
They care about our mental health.
They do. Oh my god, they literally love it.
They love our mental health so much.
No, they don't. Anyway, it's fine. That part is over. So I'm good.
And now we're in university, so.
Yeah, which is very different.
Well, you gotta do it in person. I had to do all online for the first.
That's year. So sad though.
I know. But now I'm gonna go to do theater stuff.
Yes.
Yay.
Oh my god.
Be a theater nerd again.
As you should.
Yes.
So next we have our book quote of the week. What do you have?
I have a quote from Radio Silence, actually, because I was reading it recently. I'm still not finished, but that's...
I figured. Anyway, carry on.
My book quote is, it reminded me a lot of, like, Dear Evan Hansen. So that's why I chose it. It's, I think, at the end of Allied's podcast. I wonder if nobody's listening to my voice. Am I making any sound at all?
Oh, I can see how that sounds like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something in Dear Evan Hansen. It's like, it's pretty similar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the quotes from Radio Silence. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just...
Radio Silence so much.
Oh, I know, I love it. Mm-hmm. My quote is from this trilogy called The Spinster Trilogy. And the first book is called Am I Normal Yet? So I found this quote really funny. Okay. I think you'll appreciate it. He's been so changeable with her, I'm surprised he's not been accepted to Hogwarts for his transfiguration skills.
Nice.
I liked it.
We love Hogwarts quotes, Harry Potter quotes.
But we don't stand J.K. Rowling.
No, of course not. J.K. Rowling.
Daniel Radcliffe wrote the books. Because he's a very talented writer.
Is he a talented? No.
I don't know. He's a good actor.
He's a really good actor, yeah.
I don't know if he's a good writer.
No, I don't think so. Unless he suddenly, like, writes something.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe, like, a new thing will pop up. He's been working on a big project, maybe.
Whoa. Daniel Radcliffe's a writer?
Whoa, maybe.
I manifested it first.
No. All right, so I guess it's happening.
So.
What's it?
Are we going into Heartstopper Volume 4 now?
Who wants to start?
Okay, I will.
Okay, go for it.
So, Heartstopper Volume 4, it starts with the fifth chapter, which is called Love. Which is cute.
This is really adorable, but also it goes over a lot of, like, mental health. Like, more of it than it did in the last one.
Yeah.
Which is good, actually. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's good. So I just have Charlie is like practicing saying I love you in the mirror.
And then Tori and Ollie show up.
Yeah. And then Tori's like, stop declaring your love so loudly.
Love it. So cute.
I just love her.
Yeah. And it's, because Charlie gets like so stressed out over those kind of things. And I understand that so well.
Me too.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like you don't want them to feel awkward about it.
I've never had that certain conflict because I've never been in a relationship, but I get like the principle of it, of like stressing over like the smallest things that when you do it, like it's completely fine after you do it. Mm-hmm. But it's like the thing that leads up to it when you're like, oh my god, what if they hate me, what if they laugh, like all of that kind of like like in a monologue in your head sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I just like Ollie just starts mocking him. He's like, oh, you love Nick.
I mean, he's not wrong. So
he's not wrong. No he's not. And then, oh yeah, and then Ollie's just cute and he's like, oh, if you say I love you to Nick, does it mean you're going to stay together forever?
Like, I hope so. And I'm like, I hope so too, Charlie. And they do stay together forever.
Yeah, it's canon. Alice said so.
Yeah.
So I'll accept it.
Yeah. Gotta trust Alice.
Yeah, exactly. And then Nick shows up and he's in a tank top, which I just found funny. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. And he's like blushing and stuff.
Yeah. And then
I really want to see that. I think it would be in season three. Sorry. Yeah. I really want to see that.
I know.
Except it'll probably be like a bit different because they probably won't have Ollie in there.
No. Makes me a little bit sad.
So that little bit won't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, because then Ollie tries to actually tell Nick. He's like, oh my god, Nick, guess what Charlie said? And then Charlie literally just stops him from saying anything.
I love it.
And then they go to the beach.
Oh yeah, they go to the beach. And I love how he holds his hand into the car, like Nick does.
Oh my god, I know.
Like, I didn't notice that at first, and I was on Twitter, and I like, or Twitter, Instagram. And I saw a post about it, and I'm like, he does? And I had to go back.
There's like some people on Twitter and Tumblr who like notice the smallest details, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to go back and see that.
Yeah, like there's like, just some things I don't notice.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god. And then it's just like the whole Paris squad.
Yes, I love the Paris squad.
Yes. And then I just have this thing written down that like when Nick takes his top off to put the sun cream on, Charlie's just staring at him.
He's staring so much.
Which is really funny.
Pop off, Charlie.
Yeah, I put gay next to it.
Yeah,
that's kind of just it. Just a little bit, yeah. And then I think Nick was like to Charlie, oh, do you want to put some sun cream on? He's like, oh, I don't really burn, I just tan.
Oh my god,
I'm so jealous of that. He's not a real person, but I'm so jealous of people who never burn but just like get brown.
Oh yeah. I'm so jealous.
Because it couldn't be me. I always burn.
I burn so much when I don't wear sunscreen.
Mm. Can I just say, I don't like the fact that you call it sunscreen.
What do you call it?
Sun cream, because it's cream. Anyway, what's the next thing you have?
I think this is a little bit back, but I want to point out the Egyptian falafel that Elle brings.
Yeah.
Because I really want to try it so bad.
Oh my god, I know.
But
it looks really good.
I don't know where to get it.
I don't know either.
Yeah. There is an Egyptian food place where I work, and I might go check it out. And see if they have it. I've never had a falafel either.
I think I have like a long time. No, maybe I haven't. Yeah. I'm not sure actually.
Let's get falafels together.
Yeah, let's get falafel together. The next thing I sort of have is like everyone kind of goes into the sea. So it's just Charlie and Elle like sitting, I think, on the sand. And Elle kind of picks up on the fact that Charlie is like a bit off.
And that, I have a note saying Elle being a savage.
100%. Yeah, because Charlie was like, oh, I'm stressing because I want to say I love you to Nick. And then she's like, you're already dating.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And then she just like says to him, you're kind of a stressed out person generally.
Me too.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah.
She just directly attacked him.
Yeah.
But
I was gonna say as you should, but no, don't attack people.
That's what friends do.
Yeah, friends do, yeah.
And other, like, people outside of the friend group, no.
Oh yeah, no. But in a way, we're like, you both understand each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then she offers him a snack. Is it the falafel or is it like cookies or something else?
I think it would be, I don't know. Because she offers him like chips later.
Yeah, I think it's cookies maybe.
Yeah, maybe cookies. And then Aled and Tao come back from the washroom and are like dying.
Yeah, and then like, oh my god.
Yeah, and then his eating disorder kind of starts acting up again because he's stressed out over telling
Nick. That tends to happen a lot when he gets stressed. He just can't eat like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then they get lunch, which is, I think, fish and chips.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like eat anything at all. Like he's just like looking down at his food, and then like everyone's finished.
I love how Nick act. Like, I love how caring and sweet Nick is.
He notices the small things, and I love that.
Like he tries his best to help as much as he can.
Like Charlie's just not having any of it. Like he's not having a good time.
No.
Yeah, and then I think Al kind of starts talking about how she hasn't visited her grandparents in Egypt because it's really dangerous to be trans out there.
Yeah, which is really sad. You know, you'd think the world would get a bit better. I think it is. It slowly is.
Slowly, but there are some countries that, like, are really transphobic and homophobic to the point where, like, you can go to jail or, like, they will literally kill you.
Yeah, and that's bad.
Which is still, like, it's still so, like, sad and upsetting.
Like, luckily, like, a lot of, like, I guess, like, a lot of European countries and Western countries are, like, pretty good for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, places like Dubai and, like, Egypt. And
yeah, like, that area.
Places that are still, like, set in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it's slowly getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Might take a bit.
Yeah.
And also, right after that, Tara starts talking about Darcy and her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how, like, her parents are really, like, rude and homophobic to her.
Yeah, and aren't the nicest people.
Yeah. And there's a quote I want to bring up
from
Tara. Was, I realize that people can be going through stuff, and you have no idea. And I'm like, yeah.
That's the thing I always say. I'm like, you can be sitting next to someone on the train.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they have it all together, but like you literally don't know what's going on in anyone's lives. Like you could be walking past someone who's like battling with all these like really intense things.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's crazy. Like you don't know what's going on in the inside of someone.
Yeah, so I don't try to judge people like at all. Like depends what you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, it's like some people judge people. They're like, oh, you're so perfect. You've got everything like together. But like, that's not the case a lot of the time.
Next is Nick with his, he's anxious because his both parents are divorced already, but he wants to see his dad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on to like the ocean talk they have.
Because
Nick and Charlie go into the ocean. They go swim around.
Yeah.
Look like cute moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they both want to say things. Like, Nick wants to talk about Charlie's eating disorder.
Yeah.
And then Charlie wants to say, I love you. And then it kind of makes Charlie a bit more anxious.
Yeah, Nick starts being like to Charlie, oh, I think you might have an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of, like, rambles and talks about how he, like, did all this research about it. And
which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It means that he really cares and that he really wants to help him. And then, like, he even says, I care about you so much. And then I think after he kind of, like, talks about that a little bit, he's like to Charlie, oh, was that what you wanted to talk about as well? And then Charlie's just like, oh, yeah, I guess so. But it isn't really true.
No. But I'm glad that Charlie, like, you know, acknowledges that he does have an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Like, that he acknowledges it.
And then
wants
I also
to get help.
Yeah, I have this quote that says, when Charlie says, most people think eating disorders are a girl thing, and that made me really sad, because it's true.
It is, yeah, a lot of people think that.
It's so true. And it's like, mental health in general, to be fair, it's like, girls, yeah, they can have like mental health problems, but men can't, obviously not, because they don't have any feelings, which is so stupid.
Yeah, I was watching a video a while back about, I think it's like trans men versus like cis men.
Yeah.
And one of the guys on the cis men side was like saying how it's not, what's the word? If you're emotional or something like that, you're not a real man. And I'm like, like, I'm not a man, but I don't think that correlates. Yeah.
It's that thing of break it down, like, what is a real man?
Yeah.
Like, at this point, what is a real man and what is a real woman? Like, I don't know. I'm getting deep, but yeah. it just makes me think about that, because it's like men and women both have their own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, an eating disorder isn't just, like, for one gender.
No.
It doesn't just target one gender. Like, it's just an issue that, like, everyone, not everyone, but like most people, regardless of gender, are gonna face.
Mm-hmm. And it's just pointed out more in girls.
Yeah,
people talk about it more.
Yeah, I think it's the thing of people argue, oh, because of statistics. Well, I can't speak, because obviously girls have a higher like percentage of whatever, but it's because the men don't come forward because of society. Yeah, like, it still does happen to them, but it's more in secret than it is with girls, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Anyway, move on. I'm going to move on to the the I love you scene. I'm going to cut past David, because fuck you, David.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go to, like,
David can go in the bin.
Yep, he should.
So yeah, so like from when Nick's in the shower, sort of thing.
Yeah, Charlie is in Nick's room while Nick's taking a shower to get all the sand off of him because they just went to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking at all the photos on the wall of like that Nick took of Charlie.
Yeah. And
like, the Tara saying like, he's literally so obsessed with you. And he's like, like he's so obsessed, and it's so adorable.
Yeah, it is really cute.
And
then I think he gets a text from his mum saying, oh, you need to come home like right now. Yeah. Why are you still out? It's late. So then I think he goes to tell Nick like outside the bathroom door.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh Nick, I didn't, what I said at the beach wasn't actually what I wanted to tell you.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you
that I love you. And then he just literally yeets out the door. Yeah. He just runs out.
And Nick slips out of the shower. I really want to see that scene in season 3.
Done safely as well. We don't want anyone to go.
Oh, yeah. I don't want Kit to like to hurt himself.
Break a leg or something, I don't know. But the dedication that Nick has, he literally just like runs out of the shower. Yeah, like gets a hoodie on, tracksuit bottoms on maybe, or shorts, I remember. And then just literally runs out, gets his trainers on, I think.
No, he doesn't put any shoes on, no.
Barefoot. Yeah. He just runs after him. The chaos. Yeah, the chaos that those radiate.
And then he says, I love you too, to Charlie, and it's so cute.
Yeah, because Nick is like, oh, I can say it then. And Charlie's like, no, I'm not letting you have it because I'm the one who said it first.
Then he says it again.
Yeah, and then they kiss. And I think Nick walks him home.
I want to mention this one part because it reminds me of me and you so much. Because Nick says, he's like, because you're Charlie and you love me and I love you.
Oh, that's so cute.
I say it a lot.
Oh, I see what you mean now.
Yeah, and also just, you know.
Because they're Nick and Charlie.
Yes.
And then Charlie just points out that he's not wearing a shirt. And then I have this quote from Nick that says, I thought you liked it. I saw you peeping at the beach.
I'm like, what was it?
He's like, no, what do you mean?
To that in the most recent chapter. in chapter 7.
Yeah.
They're in the change room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they, and Charlie says the same line, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Nick says, it's okay, it's allowed, we're in love.
Yeah, that line, yeah.
The little banter they have between each other, it's cute.
So cute.
Yeah, and then Nick's like, I need my jumper back. And Charlie's like, I don't really want to. And I have this quote from Nick that says, you have like 5 of my jumpers already.
Maybe so, but that's okay. He likes them wearing his sweaters.
Jumpers.
Jumpers. He likes them wearing them.
Yeah.
That's okay.
As long as, yeah, that's true.
Okay, and then we get to Charlie's house, and Jane is not happy. Jane as
I'm not happy with Jane, actually. I'm not happy with Jane.
No. Jane is Charlie's mom.
Yeah. And then the next thing we see is, like, Nick, I think, going to Minolka?
No.
No?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, yeah. Nick goes to Minolka.
Okay.
And my first thing is pop off Sarah.
Yes. Oh my god, I love Sarah.
I love her so much. And I have a quote soon. So
And then I have Charlie is doing like English summer work. Mm-hmm. And it's very nostalgic for me because like the revision that he's doing is the stuff I did at GCSE. So I'm like, yes, I remember the pain. Mm-hmm. I remember the struggle.
I never did summer work.
No, that's not summer work. It's like revision because he's going into year 11. Mm-hmm.
We don't do that, though.
Yeah, because you don't have stressful exams. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's fine. And then I also have this note of he's watching Drag Race.
Wait, he's watching Drag Race?
Yeah, Valentina is on the TV.
I didn't even notice. I gotta go back to that.
Yeah, like on the, he has his work and then there's a picture of the TV with Drag Race. And like after, I think after I kind of reread like the first half of this volume, I was like, oh, I feel like I want to watch Drag Race. So I literally watched Drag Race and I saw Valentina and I was like, wow,
I've been really wanting to watch it. I just haven't gone down to it.
Have you not watched any of it?
I've watched like an episode or something.
Just one?
Yeah, because I just, yeah, I can't binge watch shows unless I really, really want to, like Heartstopper was.
yeah. And then I just have, like, Charlie's mom is just annoyed.
Yeah, she's Charlie. Getting very annoyed and upset.
Yeah, and in the midst of that, Nick calls Charlie. So Charlie basically ignores his mom and just, like, answers the phone to Nick.
Yeah. They're so in love.
Like, yeah, she just gets increasingly more annoyed and more just, like, mad at him.
I mean, to be fair, I would maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure if I would get annoyed. But if you're talking to someone and you answer the call,
no, I would be annoyed at that.
Yeah, I'd be annoyed, yeah.
And then she's like, you're too young to be having sex. And that makes me laugh because, like, they've only kind of just started dating.
Yeah, it's a bit too fast.
It's like, don't make assumptions, Jane.
Hey, come on, Jane. Be better.
I know. Do you know what? I love Julio. I don't know if it's Julio or Julio. Because obviously it's a Spanish.
Oh, the dad?
Yeah, so it could be Julio. I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But I like his dad more than his mum.
His dad's really nice.
Yeah, like he defends Charlie.
Mm. But also I see Jane's kind of viewpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just really concerned because he's gone through so much.
Yeah, I know. But then when it comes to the mental health stuff, she's really not helpful.
No, yeah, that, yeah.
Which is, it's not very nice.
No.
And then Tori kind of sees the whole thing, like how they
and
all kind of
getting kind of upset.
Yeah, how they all like are having a go at each other and Charlie's getting upset. Basically, everyone's just getting upset.
Yeah.
Isn't very fun.
Yeah.
Okay,
can I talk about Sarah being like a queen? Sarah.
Yes, just, talk about it.
I have a quote from Sarah from Nick's mom.
Yeah.
That dependency isn't healthy for either of you. And there's like more ways to help.
Yeah.
Than just like one another, whether it be like, you know, friends or family. And you can't always fix people, but you can, you know, be there to listen and be there when they're in a, like, when they're upset. Be there just, you know, to make things better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Sarah.
No.
I also just have, like, random stuff of, like, David being microaggressive, like, homophobic, having microaggressive.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
But we don't talk about, we don't want to talk about that.
No.
Because we don't like David. And then, like, sort of, Charlie has this kind of, I think they're having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, Nick's last night in Menorca, just before that kind of thing that Sarah says to Nick.
Yeah.
And they're having family dinner and, like, he doesn't feel well. Basically, he's like, he can't stomach the food in front of him because he's just getting stressed and he's just, like, not feeling good at all. So then he goes to his room and calls Nick and, like, tries to talk to him about it. Mm. And then Nick kind of, he doesn't get stressed, but he gets, like, really worried and,
you're,
like,
really concerned and stuff. Yeah.
And then it's, like, that whole thing that you talked about with Sarah, how she's, like, you can't fix him just, like, with your love. Like, obviously, you have, like, a strong connection and stuff, but it takes more than that to help someone with mental health.
And you're not, like, a professional.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, totally fix Charlie. Like, the eating disorder won't, like, fully go away.
Yeah. Also, I think, I feel like it's worth to mention that people with mental illnesses, they're not, like, broken as well. Like, they're not... Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people treat them like they're children or that, like, they're, like, porcelain or something and that they need to, like, be babied, which isn't, like, completely true.
Yeah, no.
It's just, like, they're going through their things and they'll need support, but, like, you don't need
support to... them, but don't, like, don't treat them, like, that differently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the next thing is sort of all of them going back to school for, like, a new year. And so I wrote down, I always love to find out what A-levels people are doing. I just find it really interesting. So I wrote down that Elle is doing art, textiles, English, and film studies, which actually, like, feels right for her character anyway, because she's a pretty And then Nick, I wrote down poor boy, because he's doing psychology, biology, PE, and geography.
Oh, rip.
I wrote down, like, seriously, I don't know why he'd do that to himself.
Well, PE makes sense because, you know.
Yeah, but psychology and biology, that's hell. Sorry, but, like, I couldn't do it. I did psychology, but we don't talk about that.
No, we don't. Don't talk about that anymore.
And then I think it's sort of, like, Christian, Otis, and Cy.
Yeah.
All nice and supportive friends we love.
Yeah, supportive.
Yeah.
They are supportive. Good mates.
Good mates.
Good mates. And then Sahara comes along.
Yeah, and then Nick introduced her to his friends.
And she becomes a part of their group.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cute.
And then eventually Nick and Charlie find each other in the hallway.
And they make out in the classroom.
They make out in the classroom, yeah.
It's really adorable.
I mean, as they should, they haven't seen each other for 3 weeks, something like that. So
that was a while.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since they started dating, they've basically seen each other every day.
Yeah.
So being apart even for a day is probably hard for them.
Well, yeah, they hang out, like, every single day.
Yeah,
exactly. In the book, in, like, the novella?
Novella
of just Nick and Charlie. They said they know they're weird. They hang out literally, like, every single day.
Yeah.
Which, I like that. Yeah, next point I have... is Nick's birthday.
Can I say something quick before?
Yeah, go for it.
I have a quote written down that when, like, they're kind of making out, Charlie's like, oh my god, I'm dating a sixth former, that's so hot.
Oh my god, yeah.
To be fair though, like, in secondary school, sixth formers are, like, up there, do you know what I mean? Like, they're what do you call, like, the oldest of the school. I mean, he's only in year 11, they're only a year apart,
but still.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
But yeah, go ahead to Nick's birthday.
Yeah, Nick's birthday. Yeah, I called Nick's dad, like, an asshole.
I like him, but I don't like him at the same time.
Yeah, he's kind of like, I don't know, I have Nick's feelings.
Yeah, it's not like a hatred, but it's not like I love him.
Yeah.
So I feel like
he doesn't want to try.
Yeah.
But for, like, at least, like, this volume and for most volumes, he doesn't really try that much.
Yeah.
He doesn't go towards, and see his kids.
Towards the end of this volume, he does.
Is this volume, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the next volume is the one that's online, so it's not, like, finished.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he does kind of try towards the end of it, and he does apologize, which we will get into.
Okay.
So, yeah, next birthday, Charlie gives him... he gives him the jumpers that he's borrowed.
Jumpers, yeah.
Which was, like, the joke sort of present. And then he gives him a photo album with a picture from the beach, mm-hmm. which is really cute. He says, I think he says something like, you gave me a picture in the snow, yeah. so I'm giving you a picture, in the sun. Yeah.
So adorable. I want to mention this.
Yeah.
So you know how Charlie's like, when he gives away his sweaters, he's like, it doesn't smell like you anymore.
Yeah.
And then Nick's like, oh, you take this one. I wore it like recently. And my first thought was from an interview with Kit and Joe. It was like multiple of them, but it was like just those two together. And they're talking about smell, like who's the nicest smelling person. And Kit's like, you don't smell people. That's weird. Or something like that.
Yeah. Isn't smelling people weird? I think it is. Like, do you just go up and sniff people?
No. But I know how some people smell because I hang out with them a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what I smell like. I hope not either. Bad. I hope I smell nice.
You probably do.
Do you know what? After I wash my hair, I can really smell my hair and it smells so nice.
I love when like you have people have like nice like shampoo or conditioner.
It's because I use stuff from Lush, so it smells so nice.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. What is next? Oh, they sort of have an eating disorder chat again.
Yeah.
When it kind of brings it up and he's like, I'm still like really worried about you. And then Charlie kind of breaks down a little bit. And that kind of helps him. And he's like, we can go talk to your parents together about it. Like, I don't like, want you to be alone in it.
I like how Charlie, like, he accepts and acknowledges.
Instead of, like, denial. Yeah. Which I feel like he probably has been in the denial phase for a while anyway. Yeah.
And now he's like, he wants to get help. He wants to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think, is that when chapter 6 starts?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because then it kind of goes from 6 months or 4 months later, I think, mm-hmm. when Nick is, like, reflecting on, like, the past four yeah. months since that, like, kind of point that we left of them going to speak to his parents.
Is chapter 6 in volume 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called, yeah, it's called Journey, so it's basically, like, how Charlie, like, got help from that point, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we also find out that for Christmas, Nick got a new puppy.
Oh, yes, got Henry.
Henry. It's a pug, Henry's isn't
so
it? Cute.
Yeah, I think so.
I used to be obsessed with pugs when I was younger.
Hey, really?
Not so much any, like, I had pug everything, like a duvet, pillow, like, literally everything, which was a bit weird, but I've moved past that phase.
Good. I'm not being mean to pugs.
Pugs are cute, but like they're not my favorite dogs.
Yeah, not my favorite either.
But so basically Charlie was referred to like an eating disorder service.
Yeah, but it took like a long time.
Yeah. Like the NHS has long waiting lists. Mm. Like you could be waiting forever.
Yeah.
So like kind of from that point, his mental health like got really, really bad. Like
yeah, then he hurt himself again.
Yeah, self-harm relapse. Self-harm, yeah. And then he eventually had to go to A&E, which I don't, do you know what that is?
I know what A&E is, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a like different
emergency
idea.
Service.
Yeah.
That you can just like go into, it's kind of like, it's not like, well, it can be serious, but it's like, if you need like help straight away and you just go, like, so you don't need an appointment and you like, just need to be treated. And then he got accepted as like an inpatient and then I think Nick just kind of reflects on that and how it kind of felt for him
mm-hmm.
And how how like it was good for Charlie but for him he kind of felt like still pretty worried and kind of a bit lonely I guess,
but he did have people, he got closer with his like rugby friends
and then
the para squad to help him out.
Yeah, because the Paris squad, I think, knew about what was happening with Charlie. So he could speak to them more so about that, I think.
Yeah.
yeah, and then like Nick visited Charlie with his family
like twice a week.
Yeah, and got to know Tori a little bit better,
which is nice.
Yeah. And then Charlie kind of came home early December time,
and so they went to a Christmas party.
And then I think Nick also spoke a bit about how on Christmas Day there were issues with Charlie, which is kind of hinting to, you know, that little This Winter novella. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read it.
I have not, because I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah, but it was basically kind of like mental health and eating disorder stuff that mm-hmm. his family is not that great about on Christmas Day. But yeah, and then I have this quote from Nick mm-hmm. that I really like that says, it's not like 7 weeks in hospital made him magically okay again.
Yeah, no.
Because like obviously you can go get treatment, mm-hmm. but like the treatment helps, but relapses happen. Like your mind is like unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like obviously Charlie isn't like, oh, like he's all fixed, he's all better. Mm-hmm. Like it's still like there in his head. But, like, he's slowly kind of making progress, I'd say. Yeah.
That's also, like, mentioned a bit earlier. Like, it's not like it's going to go away completely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, it'll be, like, better. But it's not like it's going to zip out.
Yeah. And then it kind of, I feel like it kind of skips to present day to that party.
Yeah, the party is really cute.
I love it. It's really cute to see them all, like, reunited again.
Yeah.
Like, all their friends and stuff. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then they have they're like just before the countdown kind of thing.
Oh yeah and then Charlie's like no kisses.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like you're not allowed to kiss before midnight, and Nick's just like okay, how rude.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, and then you also see Tal and Elle kiss,
and then Char and Darcy
kiss, which is cute.
It's so adorable.
And then, obviously, because you got kind of, like, Nick's reflection of what happened, mm-hmm. then you get Charlie's one.
Oh, yeah, he goes like, to see the therapist, Geoff, I think
it's Geoff. Jeff.
I don't know. It's spelled weird.
I don't know.
It's like G-E-O-F-F.
G-O-F-F. Geoff. Or is it pronounced Jeff? No, it's not Jeff.
I don't know. I was saying a Geoff.
Yeah. So I have this quote from Charlie, which I really love because it's kind of what I've been thinking his mental health is like related to anyway,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, I was so scared of losing control. Eating was something I could control. Because if you think about it, in his life, like the bullying, mm-hmm. being outed and the Ben thing, he couldn't like control any of that. Like it all just happened. So I feel like he was kind of clutching at short, like desperately wanting something that he can like actually have a say on.
Yeah. He wanted to have some sort of like control.
Which is obviously like really unhealthy, but I can see how that kind of manifested from all the stuff that happened to him before.
Well, he had no control over like getting outed, like, really.
Anything, yeah. So he felt like he had to like kind of control at least one thing in his life.
Which was the eating.
Yeah. And then you find out that he was diagnosed with OCD and anorexia, which, like, typically kind of go together. Like, eating disorders and OCD, like, are normally kind of two disorders that people normally get together.
Like, he has to eat food in a certain way.
Yeah, like, he has to, I think, order it. He, like, orders it alphabetically or, like, calorie-wise or something like that. And then when he's talking about the hospital, he's like, it really helped, like, get him out and see, like, the problems and how to, like, get out of that kind of dark place that he's been in for, like, a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was really good because sometimes you get these negative, like, portrayals of people going into, like, mental health wards and hospitals.
Yeah.
When I think most of the time it does more good than harm.
Yeah, it's only, like, overly bad things.
Yeah, I would say so. And then he's like, oh, I hate talking about my feelings, which I felt in my soul when I read that. I was like, me too, Charlie.
I do, but I don't. It really just depends.
I just feel like it's an awkward thing. I don't know. It depends what feelings you're talking about.
Yeah.
But if it's like a kind of really personal, intimate thing,
mm-hmm.
like even if you trust someone, it's still really hard to talk to someone about it. So Charlie went back to school after Christmas holidays, And Tori is like feeling guilty. This is like Solitaire era, kind of like a whole lot of like mental health kind of issues that are happening.
Tori's going through some stuff.
Yeah. And then he mentions that she made a friend called Michael.
Oh yes, and Michael.
We love Michael.
We love him so much.
I literally want him as my friend. Like, he just seems like such a cool person.
I mentioned this last episode, but Michael is like one of my favorite characters. Like, I have a ton of favorite characters. But such an in-depth character.
Yeah. I do love him. And then Charlie says about them, they just click.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows.
Yeah, he understands. Yes.
He can see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Are we almost done with this volume?
Almost, actually. Oh my god, we are.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then I have this kind of quote from Charlie when he's like, it's not going to be a straightforward journey. And then he says, since when is anything I do straight?
Mood.
Just so funny. I just love that he says that about himself. And then I think he talks about having that relapse in January when he had an argument with Nick. Yeah, and then like realizing that we need other people too.
Yes.
So it's not just like him and Nick, like you need a bigger support circle.
Yeah. You can't just have like each other. It's great that like he's best friends with his boyfriend, but you still need other people.
Yeah, otherwise I feel like it can get like really claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And really just like, I just have this one person. Mm-hmm. Like I have no one else, but he has like such a big support system outside of Nick as well.
And then this wouldn't happen with Dick and Charlie, but in the case where like you are best friends with your partner and then you guys kind of, and you like dropped all your other friends because of that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if you and your partner broke up, you have no one.
You're basically alone.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of switch back to the present day. When they are going to like a dinner with Nick's family and Charlie's family, where Nick's dad is going to be there.
Oh yeah.
So that's like kind of the thing, and David is there.
You, David, gross.
I know. I don't know. I don't like him.
No, I want to mention this little tiny part. It's so cute.
Mm.
He's like, "Let me care about you for once," and then he kisses him.
It's so cute.
Like, it says mate.
I still have a very important note about Ollie. Mm-hmm. As soon as he gets there, he literally goes straight to the dogs.
As he should.
That's so me.
Yeah.
Like, I relate to his, like, obsession with dogs. I just felt like I needed to say that.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then I have this really funny quote from Charlie when he's like, do we need to pretend to be platonic BFFs in front of your dad? Which is very funny.
And then he says mate, and you're like, do not call me that.
Yeah, and then he goes, buddy, pal, bro.
Bro. I think we've done something similar to that.
Yeah, we have. Because I say something, you're like, don't call me that, and then I just call you other names.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah.
Hey, what's next?
And then it's kind of later in the dinner when David is trying to expose them.
I love Tori in this.
Yeah, I wrote David, arsehole.
Yeah.
Basically, Charles tries to out both of them to Nick's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like says, oh, Nick doesn't need a girlfriend because...
And Tori fucking digs.
Yeah.
Her nails into her
stops him from like saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I called her a legend because she is a legend.
Yeah, she's iconic.
She's great. I know. And then you kind of have like a little fight between David and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick just like, not like explodes, but he just like goes to his dad. Yeah, you know what? I'm bisexual. I have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I was scared to tell you, but you know what? I don't care what you think at this point.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And I love that he's okay with, like, saying that.
Yeah. And his dad needed to be told that.
He did. Yeah. I think it was, like, kind of the reality check that he needed.
Yeah.
And then he kind of goes to David, and then he's like, you tried to bully me into hating myself just because you hate yourself.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I like who I am, and then tells David to fuck off.
As he should.
Yeah. And then David's like to Sarah. She's like, oh my God, you're gonna let him talk to me like that?
Yeah.
And Sarah just Sarah, pops off.
As she should.
Like the queen she is.
Yes. I love Sarah so much.
Oh, I know. And then does his dad have a name?
I think so. I just don't know his name.
Oh my God, I don't know his name. I don't know his name.
It doesn't matter.
Nick's dad just goes to David like, I'm disappointed in the man you've become.
Yeah, and Sarah's like, as if you have the right to say that when you're never here for your kids.
Mm.
And you see them once a year.
Yeah. And then I think Nick kind of goes outside.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, that whole situation has just like not been very ideal. And then Charlie goes to follow him and they kind of like have a little talk. Mm-hmm.
And they hug and
And then Sarah comes out and sees them and like apologizes for like the whole thing of what happened.
Yeah, and asks if he's okay. And it's just, it's nice. It's a nice moment.
It is cute. I love it. And then they sort of go back inside and his dad is trying to kind of like make amends in a like way, and he's like, oh, Charlie seems like a very nice person. So he's kind of like, he's being supportive essentially, and he kind of like tries to be like, oh, I'm gonna try and be a better dad, I'm gonna try and actually see you, which is like a start compared to like how it was before. I just put Oliver is obsessed with the dogs again,
as he should be.
Yeah, I think he's like everything. I think he's like to his mom, oh, why can't we have a dog? That was me when I was younger.
Well, you had your grandma's dog.
We had like, how many did she have, like five, and then two rabbits.
Oh yeah, you told me about that, but that's still a lot.
Yeah, I remember some of them when they were puppies. They were literally just running around the kitchen.
Oh, so cute. That's cute.
I know. But I want my own dog.
I want my own dog. Yeah.
One day. You do, technically, don't you?
No, but when I, like, move out.
Oh, yeah. I guess. And then we have the most iconic part. David on the stairs on his phone.
Oh, yeah. And he's talking shit about Charlie.
He's like, I had the quote, such an attention seeker, who probably got it from his drama queen of a boyfriend's influence.
Mm-hmm. And then Tori hears it. Annoys me. Fucking like kicks his phone out of his hand.
And it literally goes tumbling all the way downstairs.
Yeah.
And then she goes, you're a pathetic little man.
Yeah. We talk to my brother like that again. You know.
I'll end you, not kill you. Yeah,
not killing you. End you.
But that's the same thing, basically, isn't it?
Essentially.
And then Charlie's kind of like to his mum, oh, can me and Nick go out?
Mm-hmm.
Some places are probably open. And she lets him.
Yeah.
She's actually kind of nice for a little bit.
Yeah. I love this scene because, I don't know, it was just so wholesome. They were in the car.
Yeah.
And like, Nick looks so like happy.
They both look just so happy and like so free.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
It's so adorable.
And that's kind of the end, isn't it?
That's it, of volume 4, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last bit of Heartstopper until volume 5 eventually comes out.
Yeah, so what were your kind of like overall thoughts with rereading this one?
It was like, it had hard for me to get into it. Mostly because I'm busy, but like this volume reminded me and like made me like rethink about mental illness. And I liked it.
Yeah.
It's nice to bring back those thoughts because I sometimes forget that, you know,
yeah. We
should go over mental illness more.
Yeah. My main thing for this was that, like, kind of like the overall message that I got from it is like, recovery takes time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a constant thing, not constant, it's not like an instant thing where, like, oh, I have a therapist, okay, like, I'm instantly better, which obviously, if you have like trauma dating back from like two, three, like more years ago, then like it's going to take time to work through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like figure out what's going on. Mm. But like, I get what you mean because it is like heavily mental health. I can't speak. It's heavily mental health based, that like it it does like affect you if you've kind of experienced that or gone through something similar. But then also at the same time, I feel like it has a good balance of like cute moments.
My message from it, basically what was Sarah saying, that you do need more than one person, because I tend to kind of lean on one person a lot. And I kind of, it made me rethink that I need more than just one person.
Yeah, that's a good thing to take from it, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite quote down that you wrote down from this volume?
I've said this quote so many times, but it is from Sarah again. It's the people need more support than just one person can give. Because I do think it's such an important quote.
It is. My one's from Tori. It's talk about my brother like that again and our energy. Yes. I had to pick that one. Also, because it has a love heart at the end of it. Just the passive aggressiveness of that line.
She's so passive aggressive. I love the energy.
I know. I love it.
Manifesting to have that. Maybe not, but.
Yeah.
What's next? What do you have after our quotes? Oh, yeah, we have a interesting book history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Sure, you can go first.
Sure. So I found this kind of weird fact that at the Harvard University Library, there are 4 law books that are bound in human skin.
I talked about that. Yeah, I mentioned that before.
Oh, you did? That's the same fact. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
and really that they have. Yeah, and that they have some like in animal skin as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's really gross.
Well, like the person who donated their skin was like a book about human souls needs to have like human incorporations in it. And it's like, I mean, fair, but
yeah,
still gross.
Just like imagine someone's like actual. Oh, it just creeps me out a little bit.
You wouldn't notice probably.
Yeah, that's the thing. You wouldn't know.
Okay, my book fact or history is about the oldest bookshop that's like still operating.
Ooh,
it's a bookshop that was founded in 1732 in Poland.
Mm.
I don't have the name of it, but yeah, it's
that's really cool.
It's been going for like 200 years.
Or that's just so like cool.
300 years? I don't know.
We can't do maths, but no, a very long time. That's really cool, though. I love that.
A long time. I don't know. One day.
Yeah. So this is our kind of author section. So this is the last fact we're going to say about Alice for now.
Hey, I can go first.
So yeah, what did you have?
I'm going to promote one of her books because... There's like,
yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'm promoting Solitaire because it's such a good book. It's about like I don't know how old she is, maybe like 16, I think.
Yeah, she's probably 16.
Yeah, or it's 17. Hillary, which is Charlie's sister. She's a 16-year-old, teen, that's like severely depressed, and yeah, she's going through a lot of stuff. She's like a chronic. pessimist, loves to blog, loves to sleep, which is a mood, honestly.
Such a mood.
Yeah. And throughout the whole like story, it goes through kind of this event that's happening. Event like a prank, a huge prank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Causes a lot of shit to go down. But it's interesting and cool.
I've also realized I've also realized that it's sort of linked to Radio Silence in the way that Frances was at the girls' school when it burnt down. And I didn't realize till I reread Radio Silence because Frances was like in year 10, I think. Yeah. And I didn't realize. And I was like, that's so cool how they kind of all kind of interweave and link into each other.
I like reading back on the books and noticing like the little tiny things. Like, in Radio Silence recently, I noticed that. So Eled, like they're all like the Johnny R's, like the little party. I don't think they went to Johnny R's yet. They're at like a different place. Spoons, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But they saw Nick and Charlie. And when I read Radio Silence first, I read Radio Silence first and then I read Heartstopper, I think.
Yeah, I was the same.
Yeah, so then I go back and I'm like, oh, that was Nick and Charlie. The rugby captain and the head boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Francis probably just thought they were like friends.
Oh, yeah.
They were not just friends.
They're definitely not just friends.
No, they're not just friends.
So my thing I have is more about like the success with Heartstopper that she's had.
Yes.
So I went on, I think she has a website and it has a little section with like the history of Heartstopper. Mm-hmm. And it says that Heartstopper's got like a big online fan base of over 52.1 million views mm-hmm. to date, which is probably even more now, to be fair. Yeah,
probably.
But that's insane. That's so crazy. That started off as like a little Tumblr thing that she was doing just like for fun. Mm-hmm. And that was like spiraled into this big thing.
Which is awesome. And it's like such a good story as well.
It is. It resonates with so many people.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to be like LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it connects to like everyone in any way.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
What's next? Yeah, our next section, which is it's a new section.
Yeah.
We did it last episode. It's a theater fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to go first, or?
Yeah, you can. I don't mind.
Mine is about a certain musical. Mm-hmm. It's about Come From Away, which is a Canadian musical.
Yeah.
It's really, I find the story interesting. It's about the events of 9/11, but specifically on Canada's part of it, on a place called Gander, which is a place in Newfoundland on the East Coast. And it goes over like their part in the process, because there's a lot of planes at the time that had to like detour around New York because of the, you know, thing, the Twin Towers falling. And the place that they went was in Gander, and there's like, it just goes over the whole story. It's so cool.
I really need to see it, but my friend saw it and said she loved it.
The music is really good too.
Yeah. I love the music. It's so great. So my one is about Les Mis, which is one of like my top musicals.
I still haven't watched it.
Have you at least listened to it?
I've listened to, to some songs,
You should listen to the whole thing.
Okay, I will.
It's so good. But my thing is, there's this song, I don't know if you know it, there's a song called A Little Fall of Rain, which is basically the song where Eponine dies in Marius's arms because she got shot by, like, going into the barricades.
Yeah.
And an interesting thing that I found out about, like, it's A Little Fall of Rain because, like, it's raining. But in the book, what it was is that she thought it was raining, but it was actually her blood.
Oh.
Like, she was bleeding, like, so, like, she thought it was the rain, but it was actually her bleeding out, which is, like, so sad.
Have you seen the book? The book is, like, massive.
I haven't read the book, but, like, I've heard about it. And also, do you know what? The writing in the book is so tiny.
Yeah, I know. I was going to read it once, and it was just tiny little words.
I think my mom got it. I don't know if she read it, but I looked at it. And I just hate when you have, like, really big books that have tiny writing that you literally have to squint and, like, to read it, and it's just so annoying.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually read it. But, yeah.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day I will have, Hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay, is that all?
Yeah, I think so.
Any final thoughts?
Oh, let me say something.
Yeah, go for it.
Don't forget to follow our social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter with The Burrow Podcast, and then on Twitter at The Burrow Pod. And then if you're listening on like Spotify or any of those podcast streaming sites, if you liked it, give us like a review or 5 stars or however good you thought it was.
Or any suggestions of like
any books you want us to look at,
or like, you know, segments we could mention, people we can like talk to, because something's a special things coming up soon.
Yeah, we've got a kind of special interview coming up. We haven't recorded yet, but we're very excited for it.
It's gonna be really fun.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking at getting, obviously we're a book podcast, but also talking to creatives and looking at their process when that's like, seeing as we're both sort of, I'd say we're both creative people.
We are pretty creative. Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of interests us, that side. So yeah.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.